the text of the confirmation verses that I'll be giving to the girls. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Psalm 27:1a, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? Psalm 27:1b, the Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? And Psalm 27:5, for in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling, he will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle. There's an old joke that's not funny because it's too true. A church had a problem with mice. The leaders debated what to do. One said poison them, another said trap them. The pastor said confirm them. That way they won't come back. Jesus told us to expect this. In the parable of the sower, the gospel does not bear fruit in 75% of those who hear it. Being confirmed, that's relatively easy. Staying faithful unto death is not. So do you know what churches do? They try to scare you, challenge you, woo you with pizza programs and parties. Let me tell you, girls, you can be scared, challenged, or smoozed into a building, but not into faith, let alone lifelong faithfulness. It takes a miracle to get that done. When you're talking miracles, you're in God's realm, and God has used some disgusting things to work his miracles. He has used spit, mud, a serpent made of bronze, and the crucifixion of his son. More about that later. For now, just see that when God works miracles, he uses strange things. For example, he works the miracle of lifelong faithfulness using your anxieties. You do have them. You will have them. What does the future hold for me? Where will I be? What will I be? Who will you be when you reach that 21st birthday I kept telling you I was teaching you for? And don't think your faith will make you immune to anxiety. Jesus said of faithful Martha that she was anxious and troubled about many things. Far from faith making you immune, your faith is going to be one of the prime targets. The devil, the world, and your own sinful nature know only one mode against believing. Attack, attack, attack. The first instinct when anxieties attack is to do what Martha did. Work harder, deal with it, settle it, solve it, overcome it, positive, think your way out of it. What does God say? He says, humble yourself. But Mac Davis was right. It's hard to be humble. No one can make themselves that. God must do it. And he does it by loading you with so many cares, so many anxieties, so many worries, that you scream, Uncle, I give up. And so cast them on him, because he cares for you. Who is the God who cares for you? Who is the God whose hands you are humbled under? Well, who's the God with hands? He who stretched out those hands to die on the cross. But before doing that, he used those hands to keep God's laws that you never have, never can, or never will keep perfectly. So when the anxieties of life multiply till you're at your wit's end, let them drive you to the God with hands who work day and night so your anxious mind could find rest, not in your doing, not in your trying, not in your planning, but rest in what he did. Works like this. A man visiting a shepherd notices one sheep is always close to the shepherd and it has a limp. So he asks the shepherd, what happened to that sheep? The shepherd says, I broke its leg. Stunned, the man said, why would you do that? Because it liked to wander where I could not take care of it. Now it has to stay close by. The Good Shepherd works the miracle of keeping us wandering sheep close by the anxieties of life and by the fears. Today you publicly acknowledge that you belong to Jesus. His enemies are now your enemies. Now that's a fearful thing. Jesus has always known you as his own in your baptism. Well, today you announce that to the devil himself. And the devil is a fearful foe. In a mighty fortress we sing, on earth is not his equal. That means neither you nor I are or ever will be. The devil, like a roaring lion, is on the prowl for your soul. He roars that you belong to him because, after all, you are a sinner. You have sinned, you do sin, and you will sin till the day you die. He plants his long fangs into your soul with the fearful question in the dark of the night, how do you know you're saved? How do you know you're going to heaven? Don't your sins prove otherwise? Don't answer. Don't make the mistake Eve did in dialogue with the devil. Let the fears in the dark of night or in the day of despair drive you to the light. Let the overpowering strength of the devil drive you to the only stronghold there is. Let the devil's threats of damnation drive you to your only salvation. The Lord is your light and salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of your life. But he shines, saves, and protects from a cross. Girls, girls, girls. We look for our Savior to save like Superman does, powerfully, in a way nobody can deny. Everyone see his light. Everyone see his salvation. Everyone see his strength. We look for Superman when Jesus comes to us as Clark Kent. Jesus is our light when we see him hanging on the cross for our sins in darkness. Jesus is our salvation from the devil when we see him handed over to the devil to be crucified to pay for our sins. Jesus is our stronghold when he hangs without strength, dead on the cross. Under those outstretched hands, the devil cannot touch you. What law of God can the devil say you must keep since Jesus kept them all in your place? What punishment for sin can the devil say you must suffer since Jesus suffered for them all already? Lifelong faithfulness cannot come from within you. Remember Peter? He thought he could be faithful unto death, and all it took was one question from a girl about your age, and he denied his faith instantly. You won't do any better than he. Your determination, your trying, your proud assertions will crumble in the face of one boot from the devil, one threat from the world, one doubt from your sinful nature. So the Lord keeps you close. He keeps you close by breaking your pride, breaking your independence, breaking your will to wander by the anxieties and fears of life. There are too many, there are too great, and they are too varied for you to overcome. So overcome by them, you're driven to find shelter, help, and hiding in the one who overcame them all by being overcome on the cross. You're all bright girls, so you're asking, well, what about the rest of that epistle reading? What about resist the devil, standing firm in the faith? Aha! I've got you now. Right where I want you. You hear Scripture telling you to stand firm in your believing. To be like that little engine and think you can. But that's not what it says at all. It says resist the devil, not by believing, but by the faith. The faith is not the feeble small thing going on in your heart or my heart. The faith is the doctrine which has been passed down from generation to generation from the apostles and now to you. passing down the faith, the doctrine, is what these last 3 years have been all about. And now I'm about to tell you the super secret part. The marvelous mystery that one of you could figure out.